88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Six. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and Lord, it is our prayer that you would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, O Father, that will remind us that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. We thank you now for the blessings we shall receive through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we will commence reading at verse 8 and read through verse 12. Amen. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I want you to think with me this morning in terms of a subject, and you got to pull your Ebonics dictionaries out, but I want to say it like this: what you didn't know is. What you didn't know is. Tell your neighbor, what you didn't know is. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Every day you and I wake up in a fallen world. A world inhabited by over 7 billion people of different races, different languages, and different cultures. We see a world of beauty with majestic mountains, spacious seas, tropical paradise islands, luscious green pastures, and towering forests. We see a world of festivals and football games, parades where people of different religions and different cultures and different ethnic backgrounds come together to celebrate life. But sadly, we also see a world of tragedy, a world of sorrow, a world that is filled with war and sickness, disease, pain, hunger, poverty, and corruption. This is the world that is visible to us every day. But every day, my brothers and sisters, we are also surrounded by an invisible world, a heavenly realm where God's sovereignty is constantly reigning over us in more ways than you and I will ever know. Well, we're given a wonderful glimpse into this invisible world in this sixth chapter of 2 Kings. In this chapter, we see 3 wonderful blessings that come to us from God in this invisible world. The first blessing we see can be found in verses 8 through 12, and it is simply this: God has us under constant surveillance. Amen. God has us under constant surveillance. For many years, a whole lot of Americans, including myself, have been concerned that Big Brother is watching us. Big Brother being the code name for the American government. Well, last year, those concerns were confirmed when news broke that we are under constant surveillance by the NSA. That's the National Security Agency. An electronics consultant to many major electronics companies stated that items we use in everyday life, such as smartphones, GPS tracking systems, Facebook accounts, Google search engines on the internet, even your child's Xbox video game, computers with Microsoft Windows operating systems have all allowed the NSA to invade our privacy and know our every move. We're constantly being watched. Now, I don't know about you, but it deeply concerns me that I'm under constant surveillance by Big Brother. But I find it deeply comforting to know that I am under constant surveillance by our Heavenly Father. Verse 8 gives us the setting for our scripture text. Verse 8 says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel." It has been said that some things never change. If you're a student of history or if you watch enough news, then you know that the conflict between Syria and Israel is one of the most prolonged conflicts in the history of the world. Amen. The conflict between Syria and Israel is in the headlines of our newspapers today, and it was in the headlines during the days of the prophet Elisha 2,800 years ago. Throughout the history of warfare, armies have always figured out ways to spy on their enemies. But here in our text, we have the most unusual case of espionage ever seen. The king of Syria would plan his strategy and deploy his forces to attack Israel, but the Lord would overhear his plans. The Lord would read his mind. The Lord would study his documents, then reveal the information to the prophet Elisha, who would in turn inform Israel's king so that he would be prepared for the attack. After this happened several times, this furious Syrian king demanded to know who the double agent was. Does it sound familiar today? Amen. Who's been telling, amen, what I've been talking about? Who's been reporting my phone calls? Who's been telling folk what I've been talking about? The king wanted to know who's been spying on him. He was convinced that Israel had planted a spy in his palace. But then in verse 12, one of the king's servants tells him the culprit is not a spy or a double agent, but rather it is the prophet Elisha. Look there at verse 12, the B part of verse 12. It says, "But Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." The king of Syria's bedroom had been bugged, not by a spy using wiretaps, not by a spy using hidden cameras. His bedroom had been bugged by the all-knowing God who sees all and hears all. Oh, you know we're in Bible country. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that God is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalms 139 verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off." The Puritan writer Stephen Charnock wrote, "The thoughts are the most closeted acts of man, hid from men and angels unless disclosed by some outward expressions. But God descends into the depths and abysses of the soul and discerns the most inward contrivances. Nothing is impenetrable to God." That tells me, my brothers and sisters, that God has your life and my life under constant surveillance. God knows everything about you and me. I wonder if I have a witness today. He knows everything about us instantly. He knows everything about us constantly. He knows everything about us thoroughly. This can be disconcerting when you stop and think about the fact that God knows our every sinful thought. It can be disconcerting when we think about the fact that God knows our every sinful deed. God knows our every sinful intent. I'm talking about the stuff that we try to make look holy. We try to, amen, act like it's out of good, but deep down on the inside, we know that we're just trying to rub somebody the wrong way. God knows all about it. But at the same time, knowing that God has our lives under constant surveillance can bring us great peace and comfort when we realize He knows our every fear, when we realize that He knows our every heartache, when we realize that He knows our every tear, our every need, our every concern. Is there anybody here glad to know that God has you under constant surveillance? Hebrews 4 and 13 says that nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. Oh my, oh my, oh my, whenever I go through an airport and they make you get in that roundabout screening thing, you know that thing, amen, they tell you to make sure you don't have anything in your pockets, they get you in there, amen, and I'm always wondering what the person on the other side of that screen sees when that thing, amen, does an x-ray of me. Is there anybody here, amen, who's glad that God has you under constant surveillance? Now, here is the second blessing. The second blessing can be found in verses 13 through 17, and it is this. Not only does God have us under constant surveillance, but secondly, God has us under constant protection. Look at it. Chapter 6, 13 through 17. It says, "So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what is we gonna do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Y'all, here's the scene. Elisha and his servant are in the town of Dothan. Now this ain't Dothan, Alabama. All right. They're in the town of Dothan. This town is only mentioned one other time in the Bible, over in Genesis chapter 37, Dothan was the town that Joseph was sent to by his father Jacob to find out how his brothers were doing. It was just outside of Dothan that Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit and eventually sold him to some Midianite merchants headed to Egypt. Elisha and his servant have spent the night in the town of Dothan. Elisha's servant wakes up the next morning and looks out over the city walls, and he is alarmed when he sees that during the night, the Syrian army had surrounded Dothan, and they were demanding that the prophet Elisha be turned over to them. Now, you know, naturally, this servant had to feel overwhelmed with fear because all he could see was the visible army surrounding the city. What he could not see was the invisible army of angels that had gathered to protect God's prophet. It was at this point Elisha prayed to God to open his servant's eyes and let him see what his human eyes could not see. All of a sudden, he could see the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God had placed Elisha under his protective custody. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that the same God places all of his children under protective custody. I know I'm right. I know I'm right because Psalms 34 and 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him." I know I'm right because Psalms 91 and 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Now, I need to tell you that Bible scholars are divided on this issue as to whether or not all of God's children have assigned guardian angels that watch over us 24/7. But there's one thing I know that is true. There's one thing I know that is undeniable, and it is that God has us under his constant protective care. Whether that protection comes from angels or by some other means, we are under God's constant protection. Somebody ought to give him praise. Psalm 46 and 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." You do know what a refuge is, don't you? A refuge is a place that you can run to when you get in trouble. You do know what a refuge is, don't you? A refuge is a place that when you've exhausted all of your human strength, it's a place that when you've exhausted all of your intellectual ability and you realize that that problem or that situation is bigger than you can handle by yourself, a refuge is a place that you can run. Now, I know some of y'all are looking at me. You grew up in Prophet Tupac's school of theology. Tupac said, "A coward dies 1,000 deaths. A soldier dies but once." But I heard my daddy, Big Willie, say, "It's better for folk to say there he ran than there he lay." And I think I need to tell you, amen, that it really ain't about running. It's about who you're running to. I wonder if I have any witnesses here today who've discovered that running ain't really the issue. It's where you're running to that's important. If you're running to God for protection, you're running to the right place. If you're running to God in the time of trouble, is there anybody here who knows that he will shelter you under the shadow of his wings? Is there anybody here who knows that when you run to God, he's able to make it all right? And so just like Elisha's servant, you and I may not see an army of angels surrounding us, but we can rest on the comforting promises in God's word that we are under his constant protection. So here it is. We are under God's constant surveillance. Here it is. We're under God's constant protection. But then there's one more blessing that we have in the invisible world. Y'all need to know there's an invisible world. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in high places. Amen. That there is an invisible world. The third blessing is that we are under God's constant grace. His surveillance, his protection. But then verses 18 through 23 teach us something about being under his grace. Verse 18, it says, "So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." Y'all, I'm telling you, Elisha had to be some kind of prophet. Amen, amen. Elisha makes requests of God that seem foolish, that seem crazy, but he had the kind of relationship with God that he could say, "God, I want you to strike the whole Syrian army with blindness." And guess what God does? God strikes them with blindness. Now, verse 19, Elisha said to them, "This is not the way.
Nor is this the city. He's talking to those soldiers. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was, verse 20, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But look at what Elisha says in verse 22. He says, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Y'all, if you've ever read this passage before, chances are you were so focused on that invisible army of angels that God sent to protect Elisha that you missed this part about the incredible grace that God has shown to this Syrian army. Here we get a glimpse of Elisha's sense of humor. Amen. He had a sense of humor. He asked God, watch this, to afflict the Syrian army with blindness. Then Elisha went out to the blinded Syrian troops and told them they were at the wrong address. He told them to follow him, and he would lead them right to where Elisha was. Now, this is Elisha talking. So here you've got this powerful army following the very man they're looking for. Elisha led them all the way to Samaria, then asked God to open their eyes so they could see where they were. They had been delivered right into the hands of Israel's king. King Jehoram asked Elisha if he should kill all the captive soldiers. Now, here's where we see an act of God's amazing grace. Elisha told King Jehoram, instead of killing the Syrian soldiers, prepare a meal for them. Prepare a banquet for them. Prepare a feast for them. Then send them on their way back to their king. And as a result of that wonderful act of God's grace, verse 23 says, the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I've got to say, for me, just like those Syrian soldiers, amen, I have the wonderful privilege of being under God's constant grace. Can I be honest with y'all? I should have been dead. I should be sleeping in my grave, but I'm here preaching one more Sunday because I'm under God's constant grace. Don't you sit there like you've dotted every I and crossed every T. Don't you sit there like you've done it all right. You never messed up. You never told a lie. You never did the wrong thing. If you're in the house this morning, you too have to admit that you've been under God's constant surveillance. You've been under God's constant protection, and oh yes, you've been under God's constant grace. I know what the songwriter was talking about when he said, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I said all of that to get back to the Ebonics title, amen. What you don't know is, you see, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because what you didn't know is, I've got angels watching over me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned, because what you didn't know is, I've got angels watching over me. I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread.
because what you didn't know is I've got angels watching over me. I am the head and not the tail. Because what you didn't know is I've got angels watching over me. And if you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, you ought to let somebody know you didn't make it this far by yourself. But all night and all day, I've had angels watching over me. Ain't he all right? Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he give you hope? Hope for your tomorrow. You ought to leave here with a pep in your step and a glide in your stride. Because when you get in your car, no matter what the devil says, God has dispatched angels to watch over you. And if you feel his presence, you ought to give him praise. If you know he's with you, you ought to give him praise. If you feel all right, because you got grace, amazing grace, you ought to give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise.
As we stand all over this place, there may be one here today.
I think I'm going to get me a shirt with that on it. What you didn't know is, I've got angels watching over me. Oh my, y'all need to understand, you ain't been slipping through trouble. It hasn't been accidental that you made it through some stuff that should have destroyed you. Right in the nick of time, those angels that God has over your life were there to see you through. Come on, give God a hand of praise in this place. There may be someone here today, center man, center woman, center boy, center girl, and I've simply come by to encourage you by letting you know that when you're on the Lord's side, you're never by yourself. He will give ministering angels to you. He will give protecting angels to you. Amen. But you need to first give your life to him. If you're here, sinner man, sinner woman, sinner boy, sinner girl, what do I need to do to be saved? Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Secondly, there's a backslider and you got off track. The good news is God hasn't taken his eyes off of you. He's simply waiting for you to get it right and come on back home. And then last but not least, there are those of you who know God. He's ruling your life. You're looking for a church where you can worship God in spirit and in truth. And then maybe someone is here and you're here temporarily, but you don't want to move your membership, but you want to be a part of this ministry under watch care. In these four areas today, as we sing, as we pray.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.